You're listening to our First Student Sermon Series podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
I love it when performers fail. I mean, but it just has to happen, and sometimes it's caught on camera. And, you know, performers and professionals, they're under a lot of pressure. They're under a lot of pressure to do things right, do things perfect, you know, and they try to avoid messing up and making fools of themselves. And so, but we get to see sometimes that, you know, through social media, that everything's caught on camera, and sometimes they have the most embarrassing moments. And I know we all have embarrassing moments. I have embarrassing moments. I'm thankful that back in the day, they weren't all caught on tape, right? But some people just really, you know, they just don't make honest mistakes. They do dumb stuff and make bad choices, kind of like these people. It's Greg right here. There we go. There we go. Yeah, saw that one coming. Here we go. Boom. Up. That's what you get when you're on the front of a car. That's for children, not adults. How many of you tried that before? Yeah. So those people, you know, they deserve what they get, you know, because they choose to make the decisions and choices that they are. And maybe the reason why we enjoy watching these so much is because it's not us on the screen. But I know some of you guys have probably have some videos that you have made some huge mistakes. And no one wants their mistakes aired to the world, right? We just really want them to be forgotten. And I want my mistakes to be forgotten. And what we've been talking about here has to do with the things that we do and think and believe. They create our identity. And sometimes we mess up. We really mess up. And we get caught messing up. And it feels like, man, I want the world to end, or I just want this to be over when we get caught. You know, the kind of mistakes that when you make that hurt other people, maybe in your family, or maybe your best friend, or maybe those things that you do and you choose to do that dishonor God, and that only you know about, and we just do these things, and sometimes when we let these things, like, capture us, we begin to say stuff to ourselves in our mistakes. We begin to call ourselves names, like failure, a screw-up, loser, and we all allow that mindset to sink in sometimes. And when we do, the things that we say sometimes are worse than what maybe our enemies would say about us. And this is kind of a private thing that you might do. Some of us do them out loud. We just say, oh, I suck. You know, we just say it out in front of it, or I'm horrible. And when we mess up, guys, it's really easy. Listen close. It's really easy to beat yourselves up. And I've heard some of you do it. We're not deaf. We know when you're having a bad day. And sometimes it's easy to let our biggest failures define us. And then it confuses us into thinking that what we did is something that we now are. And that's when we've taken it too far. I've had times in my life where I messed up. Some of them were funny and some of them were not so funny. I started down a path at different times of letting those things define me. And in the sixth grade, for instance, I played basketball, and there was a jump ball in the middle of the game, and I got the ball off the jump, and I started running down the court the wrong direction, and I scored for the other team. Yeah. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I'm so embarrassed. I felt like a horrible basketball player, and on the way home, I just thought to myself, you're horrible. You're never going to amount to any good basketball player. You're dumb. Luckily, it wasn't the winning shot, but they did beat us by two, and that really made it worse. Felt horrible. And so in the ninth grade, I also played football, and I was actually the quarterback, believe it or not, and on an option play, which is a play that the quarterback gets the chance to either run with the ball or pitch it to his running back. Well, on this option play, I did not see the defender get me between me and the guy that I was going to pitch it to, and when I looked out, I just pitched the ball, and the defender was right there, and I pitched it right to the defender, and he ran and made a touchdown, and we lost the game. Horrible feelings like that have got me at different times. I had a car in high school. It was a 1965 Fury 3 Plymouth. It's the black car. We called it the Batmobile. I love that car. I miss that car. I was in it with a buddy, and we were driving just normal. You know, I wasn't doing anything stupid. I wasn't being an idiot. And I stopped in the highway, you know, just normal, to pull into a gas station. And the gas station had an incline to it. And, you know, it was just pull in and park, you know, just like a normal gas station. And when I did that, my brake pedal went all the way to the floor, and we didn't stop, and I freaked, and I tried everything. I hit the emergency brake failed, I slammed it into park, and it went, and didn't stop us. We hit the curb stop, you know, where you're supposed to stop, and we jumped over it, and we rammed into this gas station. This huge block wall was just demolished, and inside was the bathroom. Yeah, we completely obliterated the toilet and the sink, and I'm just thankful that there was nobody sitting there that day. Otherwise, they would have been really hurt. So I felt horrible. $8,000 worth of damage later, and my dad being really upset with me. Wasn't my fault. My brake lines, they just gave out, and I didn't have any brake fluid. And so, man, it sucked to be me that day. And I felt horrible. Felt horrible. And I began to follow a trend at different times in my life, that when I make a mistake, I beat myself up. This next picture, this is my best friend, Billy. Some of you heard me tell this story before. He killed himself when we were juniors in high school. He was the center. I was the quarterback. From fifth grade to my junior year. My senior year, I didn't play quarterback. I just didn't feel like I wanted to. I was in that mode. Because for a while, I believe that why Billy committed suicide was my fault. You see, my inappropriate behaviors with my girlfriend led him to some inappropriate behaviors with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend cheated on him. And so he decided to end it in a barn one night with a gun. And I carried that with me for a long time, that it was me, that if I'd have been doing something different, if I'd been making better choices, if I had kept him from that, plus the fact that I missed all the signs when he was talking to us about wanting to kill himself, when he was about to crash, I missed all of it. Now, some of those are funny, and that one was super serious, but can you relate? I mean, that would drag you down. It took me a long time to get out of that feeling of being stuck with my mess-ups, with the things that I could have done differently, and I almost let them define me. It's this close. And have you ever been there? Have you ever felt so guilty about mistakes that you've made that you almost let them consume you? Man, if you're there, I want to give you some good news tonight. I want you to start looking at yourself right now. I want you to start looking at how you treat yourself when you make a mistake, and I want you to take it serious. Because there is no reason for those who are in Christ Jesus to be consumed by lies and by thoughts that don't match what God says. That's what we've been talking about. So how do you treat yourself? How do you treat yourself when you make a mistake? Do you get over it quickly? Are you okay? Or do you just linger with it and let it beat you up? And do you talk to yourself in inappropriate ways? Well, tonight I want to share with you what God says about you once again. And when it can be easy to get stuck in our mistakes, sometimes Scripture is clear that you are not defined by the mess-ups and mistakes that you make. You are not defined by your sin. You know, when we sin, though, we can and we should feel the sting of that disappointment over what we did. It's natural. It's normal. It's what we should feel when our relationship with God is being hurt by our sin. He feels it. He knows it. Jesus knows it. But guys, through Jesus, our sins, the mess-ups, the mistakes that we've made, they do not have to define us. Because it's through Jesus that our mistakes now are things of the past. And so they don't have to define who we are now. Last week, we looked at a number of things that God said about you. We looked at that, that you are loved, most importantly, and if you have that belief in your system, it's going to change everything else, even this today. The scripture said that you were chosen by him, accepted by him, and you were made in his image, which is just an amazing thing. And today I want to show you something else that God says about you. What God says about you, listen, matters most about you when you're believing him. And if you believe what he says about you, it will redefine every other area of your life. And you won't be stuck in the mistakes and the thoughts that you have about yourself when you look in the mirror when you've made a mistake. And so we're going to look at the book of Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's on the screen. This book was written by a man named Paul. And Paul's story is pretty intense because Paul was choosing not to follow God. And before he came to Jesus, he literally was wanting to kill and put to death Christians in biblical times. He hated them. Paul was actually finding ways and new ways and different ways that he could actually put people to death who belonged to God. Now, I know we make some pretty big mistakes, but murdering people for their faith, that's got to be one of the biggest serious sins that I think we can commit. And if anyone had any reason to feel like they were stuck and that they should define themselves by their sins, it would be Paul. And yet, here's what he wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 7. It says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." You see, guys, Paul's message to us right now is this: God is always willing and ready to show us mercy in our mistakes. You need to know that. It's going to be one of the keys to being able to get over your mistakes quicker. Not to shove them aside and just say, "Oh, God will be okay with that." No, it's supposed to sting. And if you don't have a conscience right now, then you're missing the point. If your conscience isn't hurt towards God and what you do, then you're probably not repenting correctly. You're probably just thinking, "Oh, well, he'll cover it up." That's not it. When we mess up, God feels it, but he doesn't say or think, "Oh man, I can't wait to get this on video and show it to the whole world." He doesn't go to the extremes that we go up. No, he does this. He stands by us, he walks beside us, and he looks at you and I, and he says these three words: "You are forgiven. You are forgiven." And through Jesus, what God has offered in forgiveness, it's for every one of us. It's for you that feel like you are so far away from God, and it's for the Christian that messes up day in and day out. And so the next few verses in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 go on to say, Paul says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, guys, you're created. You're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Every one of you. You are his creation. And I know sometimes when you make mistakes, it doesn't feel like you're worthy of that title, especially when you've really, really messed up and you feel like everybody's going to look down on you, is going to think worse of you. He looked at you and he said, "You're my creation." And last week we said that when he saw what he created and you were part of that, that you were very good, that the thing he created was awesome. And so each one of us have a reason to be able to say, "I'm okay. I can be okay." And even though we're going to still mess up, God's forgiveness is still available to us. And if you belong to Jesus, what this means is that you have actually given him your life, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you've been obedient to all that he's asked you to do. That's what it means to give your life to Christ. And if you're that's you, then you understand that it's a big amount of grace. It's an incredible grace to have in your life so that you don't have to believe that you are defined by your biggest failures. It's God's grace who covers that. Paul writes in another book called Romans. It's Romans 8, verse 1. Listen to what he says here. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus are no longer under God's judgment." I'm going to read it again. "Those who are in Christ Jesus, those who belong to Christ Jesus, are no longer under God's judgment." That's good news for you and I, guys. And if you belong to Jesus, what Paul is writing here is that he's saying that there is no condemnation for you. God is not prolonging his punishment or his judgment or the separation that is between you and your sin and God. It's what we deserve. We deserve separation. But because God has done this, he has taken away the sting of this sin, you and I get to be next to Jesus. We get to be with him, and he gets to be with us. And that's an amazing gift that he has given us. And so when we failed in the biggest ways, when we've embarrassed ourselves, when we've hurt the people that are close to us, the ones we love, and we found ourselves consumed with shame and guilt, God looks at us and he says, hey, hold up there. Hold up for just a second. You are loved. You are loved. Remember that. And then he takes it a step further. And when we were at our worst, and when we were broken, and when we're sinful, and we feel like we're ugly and unlovable, and nobody's going to accept us, God says, no, your sins are forgiven. And they do not have to define you. And it's through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus that all of this can be made possible, that you and I can have a new identity. We can begin to believe the things that are different that God says about us instead of what we think and feel about ourselves and what other people might say. God says you are forgiven. And like we read about just a few minutes ago, Jesus came to give us this new life. He came to give us something that we didn't deserve. And so therefore, we are not defined by our sin, but we are defined by God's forgiveness. And so without Jesus, guys, if you're here and you haven't accepted the Lord, you're going to be defined by your sin and your mistakes until you decide that you want to be defined by something else. And Jesus made that way to give you a new identity. So when you're in your small groups tonight, here's a couple things I want you to think about with this identity change. First of all, I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to think, what would it look like if I literally believed that I was forgiven? What could it look like for me to think and believe that? And I want you to talk about it with your small group. Talk about what it was that let you define yourself, what your sin was that let you define yourself like that by the mistakes that you made. And then I want you to talk about what the change can look like or what it has looked like for some of you. I want you to share that because some of you understand, you know, the depths of your sin that you've been in. And your small group, they need to hear about that. Some of you have been Christians all your life, but you know you have sinned, and they need to hear about that as well. And they need to see what it is now that you're defining yourself by. Maybe you used to let anger define you. There's a couple of examples. Maybe you now have patience with people because of Christ and how you're letting him identify you. Maybe you used to be insecure or afraid, or maybe you felt empty, but now because of Jesus and because of his help and because of your small group and because of what he's trying to share with you, you become confident and brave, and now you're fulfilled. Those are some things you can share tonight. Now, if you're here and you're not sure what you think about Jesus and all his forgiveness and what he's done, here's what I want you to do, if you're brave enough. I want you to just talk about or think about the mistakes or the failures that you're letting define you right now. And do you want to hold on to those for the rest of your life? Do you want to let those things define who you are? And then talk about maybe what that hope of who you could become would look like if you just didn't define yourself by all the thoughts and the bad things that either said about you or that you believe about yourself. For instance, if you're struggling with the tendency to lie or to gossip or to tear other people down or to tease to the point where you make somebody cry or be a bully, whatever that is, I challenge you to confess that to your group tonight. Here's some ideas that I think you could consider to pray about. Pray that God would help you be more kind, if that's your issue, or gentle, or compassion. Whatever the big mistake is that defines you, I challenge you to confront it tonight and to let God redefine you. And then you share that with your group. You let God redefine you, and then you let him, let your group know. And so as I wrap things up here, here's the question I think that each one of us need to know. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the first question for you. Do you believe that you're forgiven? Do you literally believe it? If you do, then you will live like you're forgiven. And people will be able to see that new identity that's in you, and they'll be able to understand that you have something different in your life than the rest of the world. And if you don't know Jesus, the question for you is this: do you believe you can be forgiven? Because when you choose to believe what God says about you, and your sins don't have to define you, and that you can be made new through Jesus, It changes the things that you believe about yourself. But listen, that change is not going to happen, like I said last week. It's not going to happen until you choose to believe it and to do something about it. And I know the feelings of disappointment and shame and those things that have been spoken to us that aren't true, that are negative, that kind of beat us down, I know they're powerful. But remember, like I said last week, those things were nailed to the cross with him. They were nailed to the cross with Jesus. There's no reason for you to pick up dead ideas. There's no reason for you to pick up dead thoughts and try to place them over a new identity. That's not logical. So we don't have to do it anymore. Because he bore our shame, he took our blame, and he gave us something new to use in our walk with him. And so if we hold on to shame and we hold on to guilt to the point that that starts redefining us, then what we've done, what we are doing, is we're making the grace of God powerless in our lives. I'm going to say it again once the phone stops ringing. Because everybody's like, I hear a phone. All right, let's go back to it. You guys ready? I know the feelings of disappointment and shame are powerful, but they were nailed to the cross with Jesus. We don't pick up dead things. We don't even like dead things. I'll say it a little different. We don't go pick up roadkill and go, oh, I'd like to put that back in my car, you know, just kind of take it with me. That'd be great. Just leave it in the trunk for a while. No. We don't pick up dead stuff. Why would we pick up dead things and ideas and place them on our identity? It's not logical. So listen close. If we hold on to shame and guilt to the point where they start redefining us, then what we've done and what we're doing is we're making the grace of God powerless in our lives. And we're believing lies. And the biggest lie is this: God cannot help me. And if you're there, that's where my friend Billy got. That's where he went. He said, God can't help me anymore. I'm done. I'm beyond help. And if you're there, guys, man, I want to tell you there's a better life. There's something greater in store for you. And so from now on, those of you who are already in Christ, I want you to believe that you're forgiven. So much so that it is evident in your walk that you are a walking, powerful person. You're not going to give in to things like negativity or what people say about you. You're not going to give in to the thoughts that you place on yourself. And if you don't know him, listen, you will never be bad enough to receive his forgiveness. There is nothing you can't do or can do that will make God say, I don't want you. He is always going to receive you when you come to him. And you can have that kind of forgiveness tonight. If you step out and you're bold and you're in your faith and you just want to say, look, I don't believe. Tell your small group leader, tell me, tell James, and we would like the chance to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, you've done all things that is possible that we can even imagine to set things right in this world, this crooked, this depraved, this demonic, this warped world that continues to eat away at our identity, at our faith. It just continues to chew us up. And Lord, sometimes we pick up that dead idea and we place it on us and we allow it to continue to chew us up. And you said, no, that's not what you're made for. Father, I'm so thankful you stood bold enough. You gave your son and he took the blame and shame for us so that we could walk in newness. And we don't have to let the world or any of the thoughts that we have, other than what you say, define who we are. So, God, I pray that each one would be able to define themselves as forgiven tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. You can follow us on your favorite social media platform, @FirstStudentsOK.